If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajat, hosting this program, and Sheikh Sabid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws pertaining to the concept of partnership according to the Islamic jurisprudence and fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And we'd like to continue along the same line, Sheikh Javid. Four brothers live of a jointly owned property. Two of them got married and undertook that each would be responsible for bringing one of the younger brothers up and bearing the expenses arising from his marriage. However, neither kept his pledge.
Right.
The younger brothers now want to have their share of the property and live independently.
Right.
How should they go about distributing the possessions between themselves?
Right. Well, since the elder brothers made a commitment to raise and support their younger brothers, but failed to uphold their promise or their commitment, so fairness requires financial adjustment. The younger brothers have the right to demand compensation for any spending, spending imbalance from the shared property.
Yes.
The proper approach is that, first of all, calculate what has already been spent unfairly or unequally. Those who benefited more must be set back on equal footing with those who benefited less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a fair mechanism, and then once equality is restored, the remainder of the joint property is divided equally among all brothers, and this ensures justice both in past spending and in future distribution, without allowing broken pledges to disadvantage the younger brothers.
I see. The tea company, Sheikh Javid, in the country has a policy of forcing retailers to become members in the company. Does the company have the right to do it, first of all? And is such membership valid?
Well, if the company conditions access to its services and products, like supplying tea or providing facilities, on retailers becoming members, so... if this is a stipulation, if this is a condition placed by the company on becoming members in order for them to have its tea supplies or facilities, so this is permissible. Membership in this case is part of a business arrangement and does not involve anything forbidden. It is permissible in and of itself, as long as the agreement is transparent and both sides benefit. There is no harm whatsoever in such an arrangement, and also in such a requirement.
Isn't the intention of the retailers or agreement and consent a condition for the membership to be valid? But because the company is forcing the retailers to become members.
If they want to enjoy the services and the facilities provided by the company, and then the company mandates it, makes it compulsory for the people who wants to enjoy its services to be a member. Otherwise, they will not have access to its services. So this is something you can choose arbitrarily of your own accord, whether you want to become a member and enjoy the services or not. And you can choose without being forced, okay? But if you want, of course, it becomes necessary. It is something like becoming forced at the end of the day to enjoy the services and to have access to the services. Otherwise, you will be denied.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to partnership according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Tawheed, is it permissible for the management of a company to spend its profits in charity without seeking the permission of the shareholders?
No, it's not permissible, you know. It is the property owned by the shareholders, and they, maybe one of them is the management or the manager. So profits belong to the shareholders, and only they can decide what to do with them. If management spends the shareholders' money on charity without explicit permission or legal authority, it is not valid. He will be liable for the amount spent on charity because he did not have the consent of the shareholders. And even though the cause is good, the intention is good, but he still is liable. Mm-hmm. The management must compensate the shareholders for any unauthorized spending. And of course, the principle is that one cannot use someone else's wealth without consent, no matter what the purpose.
I see. Three people set up a joint business venture. One of them contributed half of the capital and the other two a quarter each. They agreed that the profits should be distributed between them each according to their shares.
Right.
The two partners who contributed a quarter each of the capital run the business full-time, whereas the partner who owns half of the company capital seldom works. Is this partnership valid?
Well, partnerships do not require equal capital contributions, you know. This is completely understandable. It makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, one person has more money, he will put more money into the investment.
Right.
Another person does not have it. So every individual bears the losses and the benefits and the profit proportionate to his invested capital. Unequal shares are perfectly valid according to Islamic Sharia and also according to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, profits can also be distributed in any ratio agreed upon, whether equal or proportionate to investment.
Right.
It is something, it's a matter of agreement.
Mm.
But when it comes to labor, fairness requires that those who actively manage and work in the business should be compensated unless the contract explicitly states that they work without additional pay, right? Yes. If no such stipulation exists, then workers among the partners deserve wages or recognition for their efforts,
right,
on top of their shares of the profits, of course.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the concept of partnership according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javed, both the public and the private sectors jointly own a company. The yes. shareholders appointed the management team. Is it permissible for the company staff to use the company cars for their personal business?
Well, company property such as cars belongs collectively to the shareholders, both private and public sector, right?
Mm.
And employees may not use such property for personal needs unless they receive explicit permission from the shareholders or their authorized representatives, the board of directors, for example, or the CEO, or those authorized, right?
Mm.
So, you know, we do know that such things happen here and there. And there are people who use, for example, a company car without seeking permission of the shareholders. It is not permissible unless there is explicit permission by the shareholders or by the person in charge of the company property. And using a car without such permission is considered unlawful use of others' property according to Islamic Sharia.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the company charter, Sheikh Javed,
yes,
a committee whose responsibility is to settle disputes has to be set up. The committee cannot be set up because 51% of the shareholders have foregone their rights.
Right.
Is it obligatory on those shareholders who have relinquished their rights to demand the formation of the committee so that the rights of the existing shareholders are upheld?
Right. Well, if the company charter makes forming an arbitration or dispute settling committee obligatory, then all shareholders, including those who have personally waived their rights, are still bound to fulfill their requirement. And waiving one's or relinquishing one's right does not cancel the collective obligation outlined in the charter. They have to fulfill their obligation even if they have relinquished their rights. Therefore, the committee must still be established because the commitment to it is a binding contractual obligation on all parties.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you, my dear audience, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, whereby we try to deal with and delve into some of the jurisprudential laws related to the very important concept of partnership or shirka according to Shia laws and fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And we hope you enjoyed this episode and we bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.